copywriting is spiritual, and most people don't think of it that way. Most people don't treat copywriting as if it's spiritual. And how most people treat it is as a means to a capitalist end. Like, if I could just, hi everybody. Okay, that's actually a good question. Somebody asked, what is copywriting? And I define copy as writing that has an outward purpose, as opposed to just like my private journaling of my thoughts, or me just creative writing a poem that I'm not necessarily going to share with other people, which is not necessarily for other people's consumption. I may share it with other people, but that's not the point if I write a poem, right? So, but if I write something that is meant to do something out in the world, that's how I define copy, okay? So having defined that, copywriting is spiritual, and we get into trouble when we don't treat it like it's spiritual. Here's what happens when you write copy, meaning any writing that's meant to go out there and do something in the world. We broadcast a certain spiritual reality that we think we're in, that we ourselves are subscribed to. I'm going to say that again because it's really important. It's worth pausing on. When we write copy and put it out in the world, we are broadcasting a certain spiritual reality that we believe we're in. For a lot of people, could be you, the spiritual reality that you're broadcasting is one of lack. It is one that is ruled by fear and characterized by your responses to fear. A lot of people, when they are copywriting, they're broadcasting a spiritual reality where they themselves are not feeling met and seen and witnessed and understood and accepted by their own selves. There is a fracture within your own spiritual reality where, for example, you might be like, I don't feel worthy, and so I want to be approved of. I want people to like me. I want to be understood in the way that I yearn to be understood. I want to be liked. I want people to think I'm this nice thing and that other nice thing. Because unless I have that, I won't know that I'm okay. I won't know that I'm worthy. Other people approving of me is going to give me a taste of approving myself. Other people telling me that I help them is going to give me a taste of what it's like to not need help myself. And when it feels like I'm getting lots of engagement and people are, you know, reflecting positive things back to me, that's gonna make me feel like my existence is useful in the world, because otherwise I'm not so sure. These are examples of spiritual realities that we are in, that we are creating with our consciousness, and that we are broadcasting out into the world when we write and share. And I want to say, I don't like saying this, but it's the truth, which I think that most people write copy in a way where they are broadcasting a spiritual reality filled with pain of not feeling safe in their own brains, not feeling safe in their own bodies, not feeling safe in their businesses, which is why the most common questions that I get about copy is, what should I, like, what do you think about this rule that I was told to follow? And I'm so scared of showing up because I have this and that fear about what other people will think. Now, I want to be very clear. Having fears about what other people think and doubting ourselves, you know, doubting our own worth, these are pretty much universal human experiences, and no one is above them. I'm not above them. So it's not like you're doing it wrong and you're uniquely flawed if you have these things going on. They're part of what makes us human. It's normal. Everyone has them. I have them. Everybody has them, right? But I want you to dig deeper. And I want you to, I'm going to call it what it is. It's spiritual work of meeting yourself at the place that is deeper than your fears, deeper than your desire to be liked, deeper than your desire to be regarded as helpful and valuable, deeper than your desire to earn a certain amount of money so you can be successful, so you can feel like your life has meaning and that you're okay to exist on this earth. I need you to reach deeper than that. Because most people aren't reaching deeper than that, all of the copy that I'm seeing in the world is just same. And the writing that everybody's doing for it is ineffective. It's because it's coming from this wobbly spiritual foundation. And I also want to be sure to say, when I say wobbly spiritual foundation, I don't mean like you're fucked spiritually. That's not what I'm saying. But there's a layer that's not being tended to. And that's all you have to do. You have to tend to those layers. You have to go to your most visceral fears. You have to go to the fears that are working the hardest to keep you doing the things that you're doing. Fears are very hardworking. For a lot of people, the fear that's working the hardest as fuel for many, many, many people, at probably most of us, fear is their biggest fuel. The fear of not mattering. The fear of not being successful. The fear of not being worthy. The fear of being abandoned. The fear of not being liked. You have to go to that fear, meet that fear, and meeting that fear is the only way you are going to activate genuine charisma, genuine magnetism. And by words like magnetism, charisma, which are very often thrown around in the online business world, I don't mean by charisma, I don't mean like it makes lots of people want to click like on your thing. That might happen incidentally, or it might not, but charisma is something that someone has that gives them a weight center. And when there is a weight center, it makes certain elements around them gravitate towards them. If fear is the biggest thing that's fueling you, you will not have access to your own weight center. All that's here is fear. Here's an interesting thing that happens is that when you're being driven by fear, it often attracts other people who have the same fear unconsciously. It acts like a magnet for other people's fears, which is why a lot of people who use fear marketing, like, unless you buy this from me, you're gonna be fucked. Right? That's, do you want to be fucked? No, then you better buy my thing. That is somebody, if somebody is marketing like that, they themselves are operating from a place of profound fear. And because fear is so alive in them, it magnet, right? Like attracts like. It connects to other people's fears. It draws in other people who have similar fears. And what it can do is, depending on how quote unquote skillful you are at, you know, maneuvering your fear, it either gets a ton of people buying who are also operating from fear, or it repels people because your fear reminds them of the very way they don't want to feel. Either way, it's not too good, because here's what happens when you use fear, quote unquote, effectively to push other people to buy from you. The whole time they're using your service or your product or whatever it is, guess what is also gonna be the entire, guess what's gonna characterize their experience? Fear, right? I missed some comments. Okay, so what kind of inner work do you recommend so we can learn to write differently? So this is the entire program that I'm putting together for Writing with a Sword. I hate to be like, the answer is my offer, but the answer is my offer because you just described the entire program, the inner work that it takes to activate genuine charisma and the genuine ability to influence beyond fear, not having to use fear or fear-based desires, which like for most people, their desires are fear-based. And you can push those buttons to make a lot of money, and a lot of people do. If you don't want to do that, and if you're like most people, you don't want to do that, you have to do the inner work, the spiritual work to alchemize your own fears first and to get to who you are beyond that. When you don't need to be approved of, when you don't need to be liked, when you don't need to project a certain image, when you don't need to be successful, when you don't need to make a certain amount of money in order for you to be safe in yourself, who are you? What motivates you when you are that, at that level? What do you give a shit about when you're there? That takes, like, if there was a simple answer, like, I would tell you, but it requires a certain sequence of work that needs to be, it needs to roll out with a lot of finesse and care for the person that you are. That's why my course is 7 weeks. That's why I'm doing it exactly the way that I'm doing it. Because here's the thing, I might be the only copy teacher who's gonna say this, but I actually don't give a fuck how much you convert. I do actually, because, you know, because whatever, like, but at a, when it really comes down to it, I don't care. And here's why. Truthful, genuinely charismatic copy that is coming from you, the genuine weight center of your soul, is not the same thing as the thing that's going to convert the most. In fact, it might repel people who might have otherwise given you money from their fear. And when you are operating from that weight center, your priority is something vastly different from how do I make the most money. When you're operating from that weight center, you might not want to do your business at all, or you might want to do your business, but in a very different way. That's a pivot away from what you've been doing that actually slows down the flow of money. Like, it's crazy that I'm saying this as a business teacher, because like, which business teacher is going to say what I'm going to teach you might make you less money? But I'd be lying if I didn't say that, because that's the truth. If you approach your business more like an art, if you approach copywriting more as your art and a spiritual practice, that is not necessarily always conducive to making money as fast as possible. But what it will do is to open up a way of writing, a way of relating that doesn't feel like fucking work, in the sense of like, oh my God, I gotta get up on that stage and do my song and dance and hope that people stop by and throw up a nickel into the hat. Like, and hopefully that's enough. You know, like, that will end forever. And when you communicate, it'll feel like there will be no friction between your most generative, most powerful self and the words that are getting out there. This means that your words will be alive in the world as art. Your words will be alive in the world as a force that genuinely changes people at a level beyond their fears. This is how you're going to create genuine allies. This is how you're going to attract genuine supporters. This is how you're going to create a genuine community, and not like the fake bullshit community that people say you have to create for your business. Like, people who are just gonna, like, you know, contribute to your whatever community of humans who actually give a shit about you, actually give a shit about what you give a shit about, who are going to be your allies in creating the kind of world you want to live in. For all of that, for any of that to work, you have to start with the first spiritual attunement to getting to that place of creating from something other than fear. So this is a hell of a lot gnarlier than giving you templates and prompts and tips and tricks and subject lines that are going to get opens, which, like, everything I just said, I have given people before, and my prompts are the best. My copywriting templates are the best. My tips and tricks are the best. I have very high regard for tips and tricks and templates and prompts that I have given. And if you want to buy them, they're already like out there. You know, I've taught them in various programs that I've done. And I've seen again and again that people only go as far with them as their spiritual realities will allow. You gotta, in order to really get to that place and be able to stay there in a sustainable way, you gotta bring in the big guns. And by big guns, I mean your ancestors. You gotta bring in whatever spiritual source of support you turn to, whether it's God, whether it's, you know, you call them your guides or, you know, whatever ancestors, they will help you to do basically like chiropractic alignment on your spiritual reality so that you can access that weight center. When people wonder like why my business works as well as it does, even though I make so many crazy decisions that so many business strategists would say are a terrible idea. Even though I plan nothing in my business, I do almost everything spontaneously. I break more rules than I follow. Many people would say that my business is chaotic and it is, but it works. It works really, really beautifully. And that's because I am operating from a very, very real spiritual reality that it doesn't easily shake because somebody said something or because whatever. And I want you to have that too, because that is personal power. And how that applies to your business and copywriting is just a tiny part of how that's going to show up in your life when you're connected to your personal power. And it's going to probably change what you offer and how you want to offer it. It's going to change the reasons that you show up on social media. It's going to change the reasons you send emails. It's going to change who is on your mind as you're doing these things. It's going to change your relationship to your goals. It's going to change your relationship to money. It's going to change the way you feel in your own nervous system. So, I just want to talk about that. Did people have questions that I missed? I'm scrolling up. So, I get a lot of questions about whether Writing with the Sword has a payment plan. And it's $500, and the class itself doesn't have a payment plan, but if you were to join Home, which, you know, is lifetime membership, that has a payment plan, and that includes Writing with the Sword. So that's one way to do it. But that might not be an aligned, I don't know. Check out Home, because that includes Writing with the Sword, and see if that payment plan is something you can do. Here's a question. I want to help other people who were raped. Do you think that is something safe I can personally speak to directly, or is it too triggering? Okay. Let me think a minute about how to answer this, because this is obviously important. Let me start here. The people that you want to speak to who have experienced sexual assault, I want you to make it narrower, because it's not every single person that has experienced this that would be helped by you. Unfortunately, it is a large group of humans who have experienced this. And not everyone is going to jive with you. Not everyone wants help. Not everyone wants help from you. Not everyone is going to be a fit for that unique frequency of support that you can provide. So you want to ask yourself, it's not everyone who has experienced this, it's so who is it? Now, I just asked that question, but there's actually, that's not the real question. The real question is, in your heart, when you really get down to it, who is the person that your heart is reaching out to, that your heart wants to reach out to, and what point of the journey are they in? Because if something happened to them 50 years ago and they've more or less healed from it, they're fine, probably, right? Or if someone, like, you know, like, this is, it's a very dynamic process, like, to go through. It's not like a static thing, right? Like, I've experienced sexual assault, now what? It's like everybody's on a different journey. What kind of journey, like, who do you, when you think about who you want to touch with your words, who you want to reach out to, where, who is it and where are they on the journey in terms of what matters to you to reach out to? So when you have the answer to that, do you have an answer? Okay, so you answered people who froze and couldn't move when it happened. Okay, people who froze, people who blacked out and haven't processed. Okay, so it's not everyone who blacked out and haven't processed, because again, not everyone who's in that space is gonna wanna talk to you. Not everyone who's in that space is a good fit to talk to you, because you're a very specific person and not, you know, like I'm a very specific person. Not everybody who wants help with copywriting or whatever wants to work with me, because I don't, it's not, you know, I'm specific, they're specific, it's not a good match. So it's a very specific kind of person who blacked out and haven't processed and who are frozen and couldn't move, and they need help processing that, and they want help processing that from you, with you, and because they jive with you for very specific reasons. You don't have to know what those reasons are. Some people are like, oh my God, I love Simone so much. Everything she says speaks to me. I don't really know why, like why specifically that's happening with them, but I don't need to know, okay? They either specifically resonate or they don't, okay? Yes, okay. So this person just saying, yes, they get it, right? No, there's a big difference between pick somebody specific that you want to talk to. No, this isn't picking. Your heart already knows. Your heart has already picked. The fact that you have this desire to help people with this, it means that your heart already knows exactly who it wants to help. So you don't have to pick with your head. You have to listen to what your heart is saying. This urge I have to help and to touch them and to reach them, who exactly is it going to, and what part of the journey are they in that they would be receptive to me and me saying what I want to say to them? And everyone else does not matter. Everyone else you can tune out. Everybody else who says, oh, that's too triggering for me, not who you're talking to. Everyone who says, oh, that's too heavy, I don't want to deal with it, okay, they're not who you're speaking to. Tune them out. It's from your heart to their heart. And nothing else matters. That's why I do not give a shit about 99% of opinions that people have about my work. Because it's not for the 99%. It's for the 1% or whatever percentage, a very small percentage of people who specifically jive with me, who are specifically in the place where my heart says, yes, the people who are right there, that's who I want to speak to. No one else matters. Okay? All right. I hope that helps. I think it is helping based on what you said. Okay, I want to catch up to some other questions. Okay, I don't know my ideal avatar. Do you have one in your mind? Okay, I think I just answered that question. This is not a thing, it's not towards you, but I fucking loathe the concept of ideal avatar, because it's something that white dudes in boardrooms made up to sell more fucking detergent. Like suburban housewife in their 40s who have blah, blah, blah. How dehumanizing. I think ideal avatar is dehumanizing because it reduces people to their demographics. It's dehumanizing because it constrains your attention to things that don't make people who they really are. Like, if you're a suburban housewife who, you know, has an SUV and drives their kids to soccer practice, who could use our detergent, like, those things, suburban housewife, drives their kids to soccer practice, blah, 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 has an SUV, like, those things don't make that person who they are. They are the most superficial, inconsequential, irrelevant things about that human being. I fucking loathe the idea of the ideal customer avatar because it reduces people to things that has nothing to do with the core of who they are. So how do you know who to speak to? I just told the person who asked about the sexual assault thing, you don't pick. Your spirit wants to reach out to someone somewhere for a specific reason. Your heart already knows whom it gives a shit about for specific reasons that are specific to you. And that is so much more, that's not as clean cut as pick an ideal customer avatar and like list out their attributes and what they like and their fears and desires and their hopes and dreams. It's a lot less clean cut than that. And that's because humanity is not fucking clean cut. The minute you try to make people clean cut is the minute you dehumanize them. And I'm not here for that at all. Fucking hate that. Sorry, you asked about because like so many people, like it's my like animosity wasn't directed towards you who asked the question. It was directed towards everybody who is perpetuating this awful garbage fucking idea. Okay. Another question is, pain point marketing the result of writing from a place of fear? What's a specific example of pain point marketing? Pain point marketing is very simple. It's like, get people scared so that it'll be easy to control them. It's the same idea that like propagandists use in like totalitarian governments. It's like, or like if we can convince them that there's like things are really scary and there's evil forces out there in the world out to get them and to corrupt their children and steal their women, then we can get them to do anything. That's a really effective form of pain point marketing that many governments have used and are still using in a way. Because what they're selling isn't a product. It's allegiance, unquestioning allegiance to their agenda, their ideology, right? So that's what pain point marketing is. Like, don't, like, drumming up your fear. Like, oh my God, don't you want, do you want to be a loser who still doesn't have a partner at age 40? Like, when everyone else is partnering up, like, do you want to die alone? You know you don't. Like, if you don't want that horrible scary thing to happen to you, better give me money. That's pain point marketing. Just like someone has a bruise, like pushing on that bruise to be like, it hurts, doesn't it? Right? If you don't buy from me, it's gonna hurt even more. I'm gonna remind you of how painful it is to have that bruise by pushing on it. So that pain is going to motivate you to buy. Completely shitty on every level. This should be a paid masterclass alone. I agree, and yet it's not. It's free. Yes, I'm so excited to spend 2 days learning from you in Vegas in July. I'm so excited to be with you in July too. You guys, if you haven't heard, I'm doing a 2-day in-person workshop with my teacher, Melissa Tears. It's called Marketing to the Unconscious Mind in Las Vegas. You're like, July, Las Vegas, why are you going to Las Vegas in July? I know. But there's a really cool event happening and it was like, it just made sense logistically. And the most insane part of this is it's going to be a life-changing, and I don't say that lightly, life-changing 2-day immersive workshop where you're going to meet so many cool people and like be able to hang out with me in real life for 2 days, and it's $100. Enough said. I wanted it to be like, are you kidding? How is this real kind of a deal? Because I wanted to make it as easy as possible for you to come hang out with me. So I'm going to save this live and I'm going to leave the link to that in the comments so you can find the thing. Is the Vegas conference thing going to be accessible virtually? Yes, but if you're not coming to the live version, don't buy it until we announce that we have the virtual version available. Like, these two things have to be kept separate. So, if you want to buy the virtual version, wait until we announce that it's possible. If you want to Google it, you can Google HypnoThoughts. That's one word. HypnoThoughts 2024. And you can find the two-day workshop that I'm doing with Melissa in the pre-conference list. But I'm going to leave the link. Okay, any other questions about this, about copy or anything? Okay. Well, I guess not. All right. Well, thanks for hanging out with me. It really means a lot to spend time with you. Am I doing a new podcast? Yes, I just announced it like 2 hours ago. You can find the link in my bio. It's called My Thoughts. When does the writing course start? May 8th. Register today. If you want to keep up with my stuff, get on my email list. I think the link for that is in my bio too. I love you. This was so helpful and timely. I am so glad. Okay, everybody, sign up for Writing with the Sword. Starts May 8th. This is, if it's calling out to you, be there. All right. Talk to you later. Bye. Bye. Bye.